Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and song tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we'll be tonight. Second Timothy chapter number 2 is, this is the passage that the Lord put on my heart. It's one that I know that he has for us tonight, and I pray that I can just share with you over the next few moments some of the things that God has given to me from this. And nothing really ever is new in Scripture, we know that, but it's just good to be reminded and challenged of things from time to time, and I promise I'll be mindful of the time this evening. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse number 1, it says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We're going to look at this tonight and this thought, teach others also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord, as we've gathered here together. Lord, we've come to the most important time, Lord, not because of anything I have to say or offer, but because we're opening your word. Lord, we thank you for the time to honor and recognize those that spent the time memorizing your scripture, hiding your word in their heart. And Lord, I pray and thank you for that. And Lord, now, as we turn our hearts and our minds and our attention to your word, Lord, I pray that you would give us exactly what we need tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just use me, speak through me, Lord, to deliver what you have for us. And Father, I pray that you would just bind the devil from distracting us, and may our attention be solely upon you and your word. Give us what we need tonight from it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Teach others also. I think we've all been there before where we have learned something and applied it to our lives and then had the opportunity to take that and to teach it to someone else and then to see them apply it to their lives or in some way and then take it and even teach that to someone else. We've seen that. We've experienced that. I was thinking about that in terms of doing live stream here at the church. It's kind of a new thing that we have recently got involved in. The first time we live streamed was not during COVID. We actually secretly, privately live streamed the first week of August 2019. After Pastor had his heart surgery, that's when I set up live stream for the first time, I guess without his permission, and I privately sent him links so he and Mrs. Tidd could watch the church service. And only they could watch it. It was a private stream. And then once the pastor was back in church, that was the end of us putting our toe in that water. But then COVID happened, and then it was time to do live stream again, and the scramble began to do that. And I remember calling people. I remember watching videos. I remember asking questions, those that had done it before, and trying to learn from them how in the world to do this, how can we make it better. And through that, we were able to venture into live stream and have been doing that for a couple years now at this point. But with that came the opportunity for me to teach others how to do that as well. Through that, other churches called because they saw our live stream on Facebook or they saw it on YouTube and would ask me questions, and I would be able to talk them through things. I would have them get on the computer, and I would walk them exactly through some things while I sat here at the computer and looked at our settings and would teach them that, would point them towards equipment, all of that, and would teach them to do that. And then ultimately, some of them would go on and teach others how to do the same as well. And so that idea of learning something and taking something in and receiving it and then passing it on to someone else with the hopes that they would get a grasp of it enough to where they would be able to pass it on to someone else. I mean, that's typical. That's a part of life experience, is to learn something new and be able to share it with someone else, to teach them that, to where ultimately they could take that and master it and pass it on to someone else. Now, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it's exactly what we see the case is. We have Paul, the preacher, who is now sharing and talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. 2 Timothy would be the very last letter that Paul would pen. And so on his heart and on his mind is thinking about the legacy and thinking about the perpetuity of the gospel and thinking about Timothy passing on the faith down the line. And this is what's weighing on his heart and his mind. We studied chapter number 1 this morning. We talked about and saw how he was pointing at his unfeigned, his genuine faith, and he was encouraging him to not be ashamed of it, to hold fast to it, to keep it. He had talked about his mother and his grandmother. We know that likely his father was not a believer, was not a part of raising him in the faith, and that's where Timothy came in, that father figure to him spiritually that helped to train him and helped to teach him the things of God and the ways of God and the teachings of God in the hopes that he would take that and then would pass it on to the next generation. Now, as we read this in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we have to know that this is mainly a preacher talking to another preacher, but let's not be naive enough to say or to think that that's where the responsibility ends. It's just with the preachers. The preachers take the faith, they share it, and then the other preachers receive it, and they pass it on to other preachers, and then that's how it goes. That's not it. That's not how it works at all. I mean, Paul was like a father to Timothy and looked to Timothy like his own son in the faith and then poured his life into him in hoping that he would take that and teach others also as well. And so, of course, us here tonight that have our children still in the home or those that have raised their children have taken what they've learned about God and they've taught that and poured that into their children. And some second and third and fourth generations later, we have the same thing happening and taking place. But as we see with Timothy and with Paul as a spiritual father, it's not exclusive to blood. It's not exclusive to preachers. As we've talked about before in this church many times before, it's all of us sharing and pouring into the next generation to see that perpetuity happen and take place. And you can be at a church as long as Pastor Tid has for 37 years and you see that happening and taking place. And it's that perpetuity. It's something that happens and something that goes on. So in chapter number 2, it says this, "Thou therefore, my son." So he's recalling what he had just talked about in chapter number 1, the faith that was in him, that unfeigned faith that he needed to keep and to pass on and to not be ashamed of. He's talking about that and transitioning from that thought to what he's going to talk about here, sharing it with other people. And he's telling him here, this is what you need. So as we think about that in terms of us tonight, I want to share, I want to pass it on, I want to teach others also. He reveals things here quickly tonight that we'll look at and we'll see what it takes to teach others also. First of all, the might that's necessary. We see the might in chapter number 2, verse number 1. He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's going to take strength to do it. And we're not talking about physical strength. We're talking about something else. He's telling Timothy to be empowered. If he's going to teach others also, it was going to require power and strength to do that. And we'll see more about this in just a couple verses. We know tonight that without strength, we grow weary. We cannot continue to do things without strength. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We know that. And we know 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But brethren, be not weary in well-doing." So it's going to require strength to do that because it can wear on us and be weary. The question is, where do we find our strength? As Paul is penning these words tonight, Paul could tell you that that strength did not come from self. I mean, you read through the Pauline epistles, and that's something that's very clear. We look at Paul as probably the greatest Christian in all of the New Testament, in all of maybe Christian faith. I mean, he was an incredible example for us. But Paul saw himself for who he was, the chief of all sinners, the least of the saints, the least of all apostles. And so he knew very well that he could not look to himself for that strength to teach others also because he was the least. He was the chief of sinners. That's who he was in his flesh. He simply couldn't do it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we can't do it in our own strength. We can try all we want. We might be able to make some progress, but it's never going to happen truly teaching others also. Paul experienced that it didn't come from others as well. You read through again Paul. He talks about it on several different occasions. Although he had many to thank and to name who had helped him, there were many who failed or even abandoned him. In chapter number 4, verse 16, he says that at the beginning, no man stood with him. In the book of Acts, if you remember, he and Barnabas were divided, I mean, to the point where they had to split and go their separate ways over John Mark, who had previously deserted them on the missionary journey. In chapter number 1, verse number 15, he said that all those in Asia had forsaken him, had turned away. And then in verse number 10, it says of chapter number 4 that Demas himself had forsaken him. So Paul knew that I cannot trust in myself, and although I may look to the help of others, ultimately I can't trust in them and rely on them for strength. He made it clear, as he says in verse number 1, that to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the strength only comes from Jesus Christ. There's no other source, no other place that it can be found. They might be helpful in helping, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? As we saw in chapter number 1, verse 7 in Sunday school this morning, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Or in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If I'm going to teach others also, I need his might to do it. That's where it begins. We have to seek God's power, his strength in teaching and training the next generation. So as we read on in verse number 2, we see the method. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says this, you've heard this of me. There's this gospel, this truth, you've heard it of me. You've seen it in my life. Paul had invested himself into Timothy, this son in the faith. He had taught and modeled to him the message of Christ. He had done that. And he had shown it to him. He had heard it of me. Now, if I'm going to pass it on to the next generation, I've got to make sure that it dwells first within me, that I'm convinced of it, that I've heard it, that I've studied it before I can pass it on. And that's what he's saying. You've heard it of me. Timothy had poured himself, Paul had poured himself into Timothy's life. He says, you've heard it of me. You've seen it in me. It's there. It's something that's real. It's something that's genuine. He talked about it in chapter number 1 as well. It's important that we grow and establish our faith if we're going to teach others also. I love how so much emphasis is given in our church to be in church services. Even though you're serving and you're involved, to be in church and to take in and establish and strengthen your own faith so that you can teach others also, it's an important and vital part of growing our faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what he's saying here. But he says to not only think about this, he says that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, it had been verified. It's something that Timothy could look to and see that Paul was saying, practicing what he was teaching him. He believed it. He saw it in other churches. He heard about it. It had been verified. It was confirmed in that. And then he says, the same commit thou to faithful men. He says, take that, what's been poured into you, and commit it to faithful men. You read about that, this word commit means to place alongside or to present. And the meaning behind it goes a little further than just passing it off. It literally means to deposit into. So he says, take that faith that you've heard of me and deposit into faithful men. Deposit it into them. Now, I think we all have heard of what it means to deposit. We take our money to the bank. Or you take a picture of your check and just upload it through your app, or you have it direct deposit. So it takes that money and it gets deposited into the bank, and you want them to keep it safe and to even in some circumstances to grow that. Now, the goal is for these faithful men to be able to be competent enough to teach others also. We deposit into them the Word of God so that they can grow it themselves and then pass it on to generations to come. This is discipleship. It's the biblical model. It's something that is necessary for the perpetuity of our faith. Is to take it, learn it, confirm it, and to pass it on to them. You look at Jesus Christ. He poured his life into 12 men. And those men poured their lives into others. I love the theme of our church is to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out. Why? Because we want to bring them in and build them up and send them out. The perpetuity of our faith. If I'm going to teach others also, I have to take what I have been received and what I've learned and deposit it into other people. Verse 3 says this. It's the mindset necessary. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse number 3, he says this again. We saw it in verse 1, thou therefore, which points back to what had just been said. So now we see in verse number 3, thou therefore points back to what was just said in verse number 2, the idea of teaching others also. If you're going to be able to teach others also, you have to have the mindset to endure hardness. Endure hardness. It's not always easy. Passing it on will encounter some difficulty. Now, I think you guys are aware of this, that we live in a society that doesn't like to do what's difficult. We don't like to endure hardness. We look for the easy way out. We don't like challenges. Just as a small example, it's like all the craze right now in the church and in Christian school that they go to is the Rubik's Cube. And my daughter got 2 Rubik's Cubes, and she kept getting them mixed up, and friends at school would solve them, and then she would come home, and they'd be messed up, and then so I learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube. So I watched a YouTube video and set the world record for most views in a 48-hour period, but I learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube. So now I can do it. In fact, Natalie just gave me the Rubik's Cube last night right before she went to bed, and I solved it for her so she could go to bed, peace of mind that the Rubik's Cube is all perfect. Now, I remember just a couple weeks ago, I said, all right, Natalie, I'm going to teach you how to solve the Rubik's Cube. She said, okay, no problem. So I go and I show her the first step, and she said, never mind, not interested. Why? Because it's hard. It is. It's not an easy thing to do. It's hard. And that's just a silly example, but that's kind of the mindset of our generation, of the society we live in. Oh, that's hard? No, thank you. I don't want any part of that. Oh, there's no easy path. There's no easy road. There's no easy way to do it. I can't just snap my finger and it's done. That's the mindset. But he's saying if we're going to pass it on to the generation behind us, if we're going to teach others also, there's no easy road. And be prepared to endure hardness. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging at times. There's no denying that we're in spiritual warfare right now in our country, especially when it comes to youth. We're familiar with verses like Ephesians 6:12, but he tells them to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I can meet someone and almost within just a couple minutes of talking with them, be able to determine whether or not they served in the armed forces. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but I can usually tell that pretty quick. I pick up on that right away. Because one of the telltale signs about them is they're tough as nails. Nothing gets under their skin. They're not going to quit easy on something. They have been strengthened. They have been physically and mentally trained to be tough. It's all about what boot camp is. They have been reconditioned, reprogrammed to be tough, to endure hardness. And you can tell when you meet them that, you know what, that's one tough individual. That's what it takes to do that. And so he's using that as a spiritual example here. He's telling Timothy, maybe Timothy knew someone within the family that was a soldier. He's saying, be prepared in teaching and training the next generation, in teaching others also, be prepared to endure hardness, because it's not always going to be easy. Can I tell you tonight, it's hard preparing a lesson. It's hard putting in extra time each week for choir or for orchestra or for special music. It can be hard growing a bus route or a Sunday school class. It's hard missing a service to work in the nursery. It's hard going straight from work to the church to deal with other people's kids. It's hard ministering to men at an inner city mission. It's hard preparing for a ladies' event or a special conference. But as we choose to endure hardness, we'll see that it's always worth it. Every single time. Why? Because I'm able to teach others also. Kids say these days, that's so satisfying. Now, usually it's like some video where they're like evenly chopping something up. They say that's satisfying. But I'll tell you what's truly satisfying, and you know this as well, is to see when they teach others also. That I've poured my life into someone else, and now here they are teaching someone else. Taking what God has used me to help share with them, and now they've taken that and emptied it out into someone else. It's satisfying. It's something that blesses our hearts. And I love this as we finish tonight in verse number 4. He says this, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. We have to make sure we stay on task. The affairs of this life, that's what's competing for that. We know that from Luke 8:14, where he talks about the thorns that choke out. So as we seek to teach others also the affairs of this life, if we get tangled up in that, is a threat to that. But he says at the end of verse number 4, and this really is the motive for all of it, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul says, I've poured myself into you, Timothy, not that I could please you, not that I could please Lois, or that I could please Eunice, or that I could please anyone else. I've done it to please God. That's the most important thing, is to please him. It's not done for man. We don't do it to receive recognition. You guys know this. You're not involved in Awana, so you get that little pin that says 5 years that you can put on your shirt somewhere. That's not why you do it. It's not so that you can stand up here and be behind a microphone and say that you did something. It's not for man. That's not to please the pastor. It's not for a staff member. It's not just because Brother Aaron asked you to do it or guilted you into it or you're afraid to say no to him because he's an imposing figure, whatever the case might be. I tell you, I have to be mindful of that I don't come across. I just have to be mindful of that. I can be intimidating. I don't try to be. And I'll tell you, if you're trying to read me, you can't read me. I'm almost always joking, so don't worry about it. But it's not to please me. You're not wanting to please me. You're doing it to please the Lord. Verse number 4, I love the end, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing man, but God, which trieth our hearts. I mean, that's the motive behind it. It's for no other reason. And yeah, it might be difficult at times, but ultimately, it's about pleasing my God. And taking what I have learned, taking what I have received myself, and not just sitting on it, but pouring it out into someone else, so that they one day can take what's been poured into them and pour it out into someone else, that they would teach others also. As we think about this tonight, I want you to think about your part in teaching others also. Because each of you, whether you realize it or not, are having some kind of influence, some kind of impact on someone that's watching you. Someone that you don't even know is watching you. Someone that you don't even know is under your influence or under your ministry. So I would encourage you tonight as we think about this, the challenge for us is to teach others also. To do it in his might. And to make sure I follow his method to take what I've learned and pour it into other people. Understanding that I've got to be motivated to do it because it's hard to do. And ultimately, the reason why I do it is to please him. So think about that tonight. What is your involvement in teaching others also? I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. Well, thank you for listening carefully tonight. Teach others also. God has a part for each of us in teaching and training the next generation. It's not just those that work in Awana or just those that work in a Sunday school or junior church class or just those that have kids in a home. We all have a responsibility to teach others also. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. God, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word, and Lord, I pray now that you would take what we've learned tonight, Lord, into our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to respond how you've spoken to us, and Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be committed to teach others also. We pray these things in Jesus' name.